Mommy C. Kennedy? While everybody's settling in and quieting down, let's just begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that we can be here this morning.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, that because of you, we have a purpose. We have a reason to be here. We can be here to praise your name, to glorify you. And Lord, that's what we want to do this morning. Yes. It's not about anything that we have done in this Christian race, in this journey, but Lord, it's about what you have done. It's the grace that you have given and provided. It's the mercy that you have shown us. It's the forgiveness that you have put upon our lives, Lord, that we can be forgiven of our sins and cleansed from all unrighteous, Lord. And because of that, we want to praise you and glorify you and lift you up because you are worthy. And Lord, we pray that this sacrifice of praise this morning, Lord, would be a sweet savor to you as we do so this morning in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand this morning. This will get your toes tapping a little bit on the first song.
Our hearts with joy.
We need you, Father. And as we look around with our family and this world and all the people that we are in contact with every day, we see more and more our need of you. So Jesus, I pray that you would just come now in this place and you would fill our hearts with your peace, with your presence. Father, I pray that we would quiet our hearts before you, that you would take away all the distractions of this world, and we would just be able to behold your face and just acknowledge how much we need you. I pray that you would give us peace and rest. I pray, Father, that you would look into our hearts, and if there's anything that does not please you, that you would show us, and we would be quick to repent. I thank you for your forgiveness that is so overwhelming and more than enough. Thank you for your mercies, your grace today. Oh God, I thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is kind of a new song. I don't think we've sang it here. Hopefully some of you know it. It's a long song, so you should know it by the end. And if you want to sit, you can sit. But if you want to stand, it's a good song to stand.
The first line says, "Oh, church, arise." So I think you have to stand.
Okay, this song you can't sit on, or unless you need to sit. That's okay. But.
Oh, church, arise and put your armor on. Stand against the
know you probably forgot this by now because we sang a lot of verses, but I love how it says in the very beginning of that song, with shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies, an army bold whose battle cry is love. Mm. What is our cry? What are we lifting up? Is it love? Or is it something of our own strength? See, if we can love with the strength, with the love that God has given us, that's true love. Mm-hmm. And then that's where he multiplies in through that. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that I get to be a part of that army with that captain. Throne but you. And Lord, that there is none other that holds that power over life and death but you. And Lord, because of that, we can rest in you. We can know that you are our Lord and our Savior. We don't have to take the cares of this world upon our shoulders. We don't have to be burdened down and overwhelmed with what is going on because we can rest in you. Lord, I just thank you because of that, because of the power that you hold. And I pray that each one of us would just rest in you. Rest in that power, knowing that you have us, that if you are for us, none can be against us.
Thank you, God.
And neither height nor depth nor anything in this world can separate us from the love of God.
Thank you, Father.
And we claim that this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning to each of you. I guess I'm on, am I? Okay, awesome. I want to welcome our guests here to this morning with us. It's an honor and a privilege to have you guys here with us. I know there's a few people that are traveling, so it is a blessing to have you here. This time the children can come up. We have a children's lesson, and Debbie will be sharing with you guys.
Guys, good morning. Hi. I've got a story today about God's great idea. Oh, I have to put my glasses on. It says, "I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way." Who's he talking about? Who did he make?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve. Did he make you guys too?
Yes.
He did.
Yes.
He made you amazing and wonderful. Did you know that? He said, "What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well." This is from Psalms. It's in the Bible. "You are a great idea. I don't mean you have great ideas, though I'm sure you do. I mean that you yourself are a great idea. You're God's great idea." How do I know that? Because only God has great ideas. When God sat down to create the very first man and woman, he said, "Let us make human beings in our image." So we're in God's image. He didn't say, "Let's make oceans in our image. Let's make flowers in our image." He said, "Let's make man in our image." So you're God's great idea. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
All right. That's cool. What does it mean to be made in God's likeness? It means you're made to look like him, maybe not on the outside, but on the inside, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. Does that mean we're perfect?
Yeah.
We're not perfect. Do we do stuff sometimes that we shouldn't do?
Yeah,
yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah? But God knew that we'd do stuff we shouldn't, but he made us anyway. It's his great idea. You get your kindness and you get your courage from him. And when you love and help, when you love and help forgive others, that's when you look the most like him. Do you love others sometimes? Yeah. Do you know that's what God gave us to do? Do you love your friend? All right. That comes to your house? Yeah. Comes to your house too? All right. Because of God's great idea and he made us to be like him, it's because, but he also knew we wouldn't do things right, right? So he gave us grace. Grace is kind of a big word. What is grace? Grace is getting good things from God. What's some good things you get from God? Can you think of something you get from God? God made us. He gave us. Yeah. God gave us food. That's right. You got an owie? Ouch.
Plants.
That's right. What did God give us?
A house.
That's right. And he heals us. He's going to help heal your owie, right? Yeah. It's healing. It's getting better. That's good. There's no way we could earn these things for ourselves, and we could never, ever, ever pay God back for them. Some of these other good things that God gave us, they're forgiveness for our sins, the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us to help us, and getting to live with God in heaven one day. So God gives you so, so much grace. So do you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to give grace to your friends, too. When somebody else messes up, be sure to give them the same love and grace that God gives to you. A flower?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. So when somebody makes you mad, he wants you to give them grace back. Can you forgive your friends when they make you mad? Yeah, all right. Yeah. That's showing God's grace. You made your friend mad? Did you guys work it out?
Said yes.
The other girl said yes. Did you guys work it out?
Yeah.
Good. Good. All right, guys. Go home and show everybody grace, okie doke. I don't know about those flowers.
Thanks for sharing that, Debbie. Kind of along with that thought, last few weeks, I've been doing some traveling. And anyway, when you're up in that plane, you're up there at 30-some thousand feet, you know, and you're just looking out that window, and you're just observing the earth, and you just realize, we talk about how big the earth is, but sometimes we refer to how the small it is too, particularly with their travels nowadays. But anyway, it just it's very interesting if you look at particularly going across Colorado, Kansas, and you see all the little rivers and everything and these ridges, and it really has a particular pattern to it. And I just had to imagine it's like God's creation. I'm like, this didn't all happen just by chance. But I'm looking down there, and I'm like, well, that's kind of the vein where the water flows and stuff. And I kind of thought about that's our body. You know, I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, that's like my veins going through our body and everything. But then I like, in a spiritual sense too, you know, is kind of what she was sharing is how can we be, I guess my thought was, be how can we be a light to the people around us? You know, we think about it as like all these people, but yet you're up in this little plane, big plane, but yet you're this little speck up here in the midair, but God is there with you. And I guess kind of an encouragement, no matter where we're at, we can be of that light and testimony. And sometimes we feel like we're a little bit of nothing sometimes, because you just feel like a little ant. And I heard Carrie share this, like, why is he calling me to go to Thailand, you know? But yet is to figure out our purpose of what God has us here for. And then it's to bring him honor and glory. It's to lead people to him. Thanks again for coming. Just a few announcements here. We've seen Henry and Leah, the birth of their daughter, Allison Mary. It appears like my wife began a meal train. Posted on WhatsApp. I haven't been keeping up with that, so if you guys are interested in that, feel free to do so. I'm sure it'd be greatly appreciated. Looks like we have, is it this week, John? Do we have an men's book deal at John's house, and that is generally at 6:30, and then the Saturday morning prayer at 7 a.m. We do have a meal here, so feel please do hang around if all possible. We'd love to have you here in the fellowship around the table at that time. I continue to pray for, I think, Phil's are in Pennsylvania, Peaches are in Carolina, so just continue to pray for them for safety. Brother Lee is bringing us the words. Brother Lee, if you want to come, and we'll just have a prayer and turn the time over to you. Heavenly Father, I just want to lift up my brother to you in this very moment, in this hour. Lord, I just pray that you be with him, anoint his spirit, and Lord, give him a word to speak. Lord, I just pray that you would open our hearts and our ears, Lord, that we can hear from you. And Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Lord, I just pray for those who are traveling. Keep your angels over them. We ask for safety and return them home safely with their families and all. Thank you for your love, and we ask this all in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. That's a good one? Yeah, you sure? Good thing it's not a laptop. Somebody had an accident with a laptop, right? Yeah, it flipped. I think it was Tarmut from Norway. That's a bummer. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm happy to tell you that I'm using the last page of my, how do you call this, notebook thing. That's awesome. I don't think I ever finished one, so last night I was like, wow, this is the last one. That's great. So I would like to welcome, I see a couple new faces. Brother Tom, is that your name? Tom Kennedy. And I see this beautiful couple over here. Hello, welcome. I don't think I've met you before. My name is Eli Gámez. Oh, hold on. This is Carrie's sister. Welcome. What's your name?
June.
Like the month. That's easy. June. Thank you. I like it. I like easy names. You know that. I forgot what I was saying. What was I saying? Welcome. Yes. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Yeah. Oh, I was saying my name is Eli Gámez. You know, I'm one of the brothers of this church. So we just have. I'm the brother that wears shorts all day, all every year, every single day. So, except in the winter. So yes, welcome. We're very happy that you guys are here. We are studying the book of Colossians. You can go to the book of Colossians. We are like almost at the very end. We're in chapter 4. We're gonna start in verse 2. And man, it's been amazing. It's been a blessing. I don't know about you, but this letter to the Church of Colossae has been such a blessing to us. I mean, today. So, just remember that Paul is in prison when he's writing this letter, and he, in these four verses, he's giving a couple instructions to the church, and I just, you know, today we're just gonna walk through those instructions and see what the Lord has or wants to tell us today. All right, I'm gonna read really quick. Colossians chapter 4 verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We're going to stop right there. And we are going to, let's pay attention to how this starts. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer. We have to stop right here. Because even though it's four words, continue steadfastly in prayer. Well, in is, I guess, is that a word? But continue, which implies or means that we are already praying. Right? He's not saying, hey, you better start praying. Right? This is part of our life. This part of our Christian life. Why? Because prayer is communication with God. Prayer is, I dare to say, is one of the ways of how we communicate with God. Why do I say one of the ways? Because I believe that the way we live, it's also a communication with the Lord. Right? When you deny yourself, when you deny your flesh, when your flesh is wanting to take you to a place in which it's not healthy, in which you're not honoring the Lord by the way you live, I think you're telling the Lord, by denying yourself, you're telling the Lord, God, I love you, right? I love you more than my own desires or than the desires of my flesh. Now, prayer is so important. I mean, goodness, prayer is all over the place. From the beginning, people were communicating with God. From the beginning. Right? They were communicating with the Lord. They were praying with the Lord. And this is the thing. We have heard so much about prayer that when I say prayer, you already have an idea in your head. You think of something. Right? Some of you think, man, you need to wake up in the morning super early and pray. That's one way of doing it. Other people do it while they drive. That's prayer too. You see, what I would like you to consider about prayer is this. Let's do this. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would say that you pray enough? Can I see some hands? Who of you would say, you know, I pray enough? Nobody. And that's a good thing, I think. Because if you thought that you pray enough, I think you need to pray more. Or we might need to pray for you. You know what I'm saying? So, we won't be able to ever pray enough. However, I don't know about you, but I feel like that fact, that thought, has blocked, I think that's a good word, blocked or disturbed my relationship with the Lord. It has made me feel like I am enough. Sorry, I am not enough. You know, like I'm not holy enough. I'm not Christian enough. You follow me? You know what I'm saying? Like almost like, oh, I'm bad. You know, I'm not classified to be his son, to be in his presence. Does that make sense? When it should be the other way around. It should be, you know what? Man, you have plenty of time to pray. Go ahead and pray. And I know there are different styles of praying too. Some people are a little bit more louder than other people, right? Or some people like repeating things. It doesn't matter. It's totally fine. That kind of funny. That reminds me, in the Netherlands, my time in the Netherlands, my English was like 20% of what it is now. So you can imagine, right, how I survived over there. And then I remember this brother from Africa. I don't remember what country. He stood up to pray, and he started to say, Father Lord, thank you, Father Lord, for this, Father Lord. And he was always saying, Father Lord, Father Lord, Father Lord. And I was like, I couldn't pay attention to anything else. And I'm like, what is Father Lord? What is Father Lord, man? And I went home thinking, talking to my wife, you know, about things. But I was like, what is Father Lord? I mean, I didn't ask it. What is Father Lord? I just thought. And I'm like almost ready to go to sleep. And I was like, it's Father Lord. He was saying, Father Lord, I get it now. Oh, wow, that was a good prayer, man. I'm sorry that I was, you know, I got into the Father Lord thing. It was just his accent. Maybe some people don't understand when I say Father Lord either. But, you know, I mean, that is a style. It's totally fine. That is not a rule that you have to go. Well, actually, we have one prayer that as a model, right? But what I'm trying to say is, in my experience, remember, this is my experience, even hearing people prayers made me feel like, man, I'm such a bad prayer. I mean, my prayers are bad compared to this guy's prayer. You see how something that can be an opportunity or a motivation for us to pray, man, our flesh just takes it the other way around and tries to put you down instead of being like, oh man, this guy, I can tell this guy prays. That's awesome. I want to pray too. Steadfastly in prayer. Steadfastly is the same word as firmly, with conviction, determination. Isn't it interesting? With conviction. You are talking to the creator of everything. Not only that, you have access to the creator, to the most powerful being. You have access to him. You think we should pray? I think we should pray. Now, I'm not saying that you need to wake up at 3 a.m. to pray, which, by the way, I went to a conference when I was probably 17 or something, and we had this brother saying that how he woke up every morning, 2, 3 a.m., you know, for prayer, and he would pray for 3-5 hours. Guess what happened? All the guys, all the youth were waking up at 2, 3 a.m. to pray. Or to snore, I would say. I mean, you know what I'm saying? The Lord gave me the gift of sleeping, if you know what I mean. Okay? I'm good at sleeping. If I don't sleep, I get grumpy. My wife knows that, and my kids too, and the people close to me. So I tried. Woke up, no, set the alarm, 2 or 3 a.m. It was hard. The only thing that did to me, it just destroyed my sleep. You know, it just made me grumpy. And it actually made me feel like a failure. Because I was not enjoying it. I was not doing it right. I don't know if that happened to you. You know, we hear people saying, oh man, this guy prays this way or this much and whatever. And we right away set the standard. Okay, that is the way it's supposed to be. No. It's not about that. How many of you have had somebody ask you, teach me how to pray? Me neither. Don't worry, me neither. But there's one person in the Bible that we see, and his disciples ask him, teach us how to pray. And I love that Jesus, you know, I'm talking about Jesus, right? I love that Jesus, he didn't say, okay, first of all, you need to clean up everything, all right? Put one chair over here, get a little glass of warm milk if you want, and then a couple candles here and there, you know, and some music, all right? And make sure the window is half open, you know, so you get fresh air, and then sit down. It wasn't a whole process. I feel like that happens to me, well, used to happen more now, before, I mean, that if I wanted to pray, okay, and prayer is a special thing. So, okay, I need to go get ready, you know, get the flower pointing south perfectly, and this one needs to be, you know, equal to the other one and stuff. And so I had a whole ritual that, because it was very long, I didn't have time to pray. Really, I mean, that would take a long time to get ready, all those things to pray. When Jesus is telling them, first, give honor to the Father. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Right? First, give honor to the Father. If sometimes you don't know what to pray, you have no idea what to pray, man, you have the whole eternity to praise the Lord with your words. And he also says, and you know what? You can ask things. Ask for bread. Ask for something good. You know, the book of James 4:3, if I'm not wrong, says, you ask and you don't get anything because you ask the wrong thing. I'm 100% sure that if you ask God for wisdom, man, he will give it to you. If you ask him to humble you, he will humble you. For love, he will show you how to love. And also, in this prayer, Jesus teaches them to ask for forgiveness. Super important. That is super important, that we need to ask for forgiveness of our mistakes. This is just a reminder, and we just got four words here. Prayer. I just wanted to make sure that we all understand this. Prayer is very important. It's crucial in our relationship because that's how we communicate with God. One way we communicate with God. And guys, there is no like a specific standard that we need to follow. If anything, allow God to set the standard, let's say, if there's going to be a standard. Let him do it, however that looks like for you. Right? And this is an invitation for me too. And whenever we hear somebody sharing about his prayer life, amen for that. But don't take it as that should be the way you have to pray from now on. Communicate with the Lord. God is your Father. You have access to him. Talk to your father because you are a child. And you know one thing, at least in my experience as a dad for the last 6 years, there is one thing that my kids can do with me. They're honest. Be honest with your prayers. Be honest. And by honest, I mean sometimes I'll share one prayer with you. Sometimes I share, God, I don't want to pray. I feel my life is just like, I don't want anything right now. I don't want to pray. And I'm praying, right? That's kind of silly. But I'm like, I just feel like so discouraged right now. And I just feel like, you know, I've been a Christian for so many years, but I still make these mistakes. I don't want to. I'd rather be honest than going to the Lord like, oh, Lord, everything is going fine. When my heart is just, is that a word? Why did everybody understand what I said? If it was just, you know what I mean. Okay. This is an invitation to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. Now, yes, I don't think it's a great idea to compare ourselves with other people. Let's not do that, okay? But also, do not compare yourself against yourself. I know that sounds weird. Let me tell you what I mean. If when I see myself, like I told you, when I was 17, 18, that I was praying, you know, 3, 4 a.m., and even later, I was like, okay, that's too early. So I started to wake up around 5, 6. And I remember my sister and I, you know, we used to go to church around 5, 6 a.m. before going to school, before going to work, and pray for 2-3 hours. It was a great time. I don't do that right now. I don't do it. I don't wake up that early to pray. I'm sorry, guys. I hope that you don't mind that. But when I see that, it's easy for me to be like, oh, goodness. I'm not good. I'm not praying enough. You know, I'm not praying as good as I used to be. You know, prayer can be this way. And I'm not talking about time. I'm not talking about style. I'm talking about a life of prayer. And that can be a little bit different from you to your brother, sister, or from you to I. So, conclusion of this part, let's pray. Let's pray. We have access to Him. Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. I was wondering, how can you be watchful in prayer? You know, like, how can you be on your guard? How can you be ready in prayer? And I had a little experience a couple weeks ago. I was working out with this brother. You know, I work out with this brother quite often. And we just finished an exercise, you know, and both of us were like going like this because we just finished a round. And then out of the blue, I mean, we're like both of us like in this position or something like that. And he's just like barely talking, like looks at me and he's like, can you pray for me? I feel like I'm being attacked by, I don't know, the enemy or something. And I'm like, what? Are you asking for prayer right now? What's going on? And he's like, I don't know, man. I just feel like I've been having thoughts that are not from the Lord, that are discouraging me, you know? And I don't know if you do this. Maybe I'm the only one that does this. But sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you, brother. Yeah, I'll pray for you, you know? And then 3 months later, it is like, did I pray for this guy? I don't remember. But I was like, you know what? Right in that moment, even though we both were like, I was like, hey, here we go. I went, put my arm on his shoulder, and started to pray. I'm not trying to look cool here, by the way. I'm just telling you, God and Father, just pray. I pray for your protection, you know. And that was it. It wasn't nothing spectacular. We didn't see any angels. Nothing. I mean, the guy was like, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Sure, okay. Next round? Sure, let's go. So we just started to work out again, you know. I mean, but his humility and discernment spoke a bomb into my heart. I was like, I like this guy as a friend. I can learn from him, you know. But he wasn't saying, Eli, you should pray. No. This action, it blessed me. You know? And I asked him a few days later, like, hey, bro, how are you doing? He understood what I meant. He's like, man, I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for praying. I'm like, man, you know, it's the Lord, but that's cool, to be honest. You know, just to see that kind of heart. I want the heart too. I mean, not his, but God's heart. You know what I mean? Because he's being transformed by the Lord. So I want that in my life too. Being watchful in prayer. Being ready. And he said with thanksgiving, an expression of gratitude. If sometimes you don't know what to pray, you can spend the whole eternity praying for all the things that the Lord has given you. Just the opportunity that you have a Bible in a language that you speak, that you can understand. Right? That we all are wearing something today. That we have lunch. Goodness, you name it. I mean, it's infinite. He's given his life for us. I mean, even if you say that the whole day, that's going to be enough. You know what I mean? So, let's be thankful. Now, this verse 3 gets a little bit interesting because he says, while you pray, I actually want to request for prayer. I want you to pray for me. So, he's requesting at the same time, pray also for us. Now, check this out. He's in jail. He's in prison with other guys. And the reason why he's in jail is because of Jesus, right? Because he's preaching the word of the Lord, the gospel. So what would you do if you were in prison and you were to request prayer? I think I would say, please pray that the Lord will get me out of jail. Almost 100% positive. I don't know if you agree with me. But Paul, in his, we're going to call it craziness because this is crazy, okay? What he requests is this, that God may open to us a door for the word. The reason why he is in jail, he's the same reason that he's requesting prayer for. He's asking prayer for the same reason, basically. This guy is crazy. But I tell you this. Paul's understanding, Paul's knowledge of who God is. I dare to say in this case, was at a different level. And by level, I mean high level, higher level. At least than mine, than my level, if we can make levels right now. You following me? This guy is in jail because he's preaching the word. And his prayer is that he gets the opportunity to preach the word, which is the reason why he's there. His understanding is in a different level. This guy is living in another planet, basically. That's what God does to your mind and to your heart. That's what happens when you allow the Spirit of God to work in you. You will turn into a weirdo for this society. And that's a good thing. I love Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Paul's knowledge was at a different level. I have to say it that way. And even though I know we all, you know, are the same with one another before the Lord, but something happened to this guy that his mind just took it to another level. It's the Spirit of God. It's just the Lord working in your heart. It's just Jesus. To declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison. Man, this guy is crazy. I will ask for some tacos and stuff, you know, if I was in jail for sure. And then verse 4, that I make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Make it clear. To be honest with you, this when I read this verse, I needed it in the right time, in the right moment. Many of you know that, you know, I had the opportunity to share with some brothers in Norway. And, you know, if you're going from one country to another country to share, there is a level of pressure, if I may say. You know, some pressure over there that, you know. So I'm trying to build up this sermon. Man, this sermon is going to cut Norway in half or whatever. You know, it's going to be like a revolution, right? I'm trying to prepare the best thing and ever. And I'm working on it. And then the Lord just spoke this word to me. First of all, it's not you. It's me. And if anything, don't try to be fancy. You barely speak the language. Just make it clear. So I'm like, you know what? Thank you. Thank you, God. That's what I need to do. Just make it clear. If the Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God, He's the Son of God. If the Bible says that Jesus died for our sins, hey, He did. There is redemption of sins. There is forgiveness. We have access to Him. Amen. Easy peasy. Instead of trying to come up with a whole, you know, I don't even know the word. You see, my English is so limited that I don't know what word to use over there. It's such a fancy sermon, let's say. Now, coming from this guy, this is Paul. He wrote the letters that are in our Bible, the letters that we read. This guy, he was a Pharisee. I mean, he knew way more than you and I about the law and about all these things that these people followed. And the one thing that he's asking is that the word is clear. How beautiful that is. I don't know about you, but I just love how in this world, right, to be the best, I'm going to call it, or to be good, you have to be the top. You have to be the biggest. You have to be like, oh my goodness, amazing. But with God, it's the other way around. You actually are going to go down. Because the less of you, the more of Him that is going to flow through your life. Isn't it beautiful? It's upside down. Now, verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. This one was a little bit of a challenge, to be honest with you. So I had to use the resources that we have, internet. So first of all, I look for the definition of wise. Let me read it to you. So marked by deep, being wise is having deep understanding, keen discernment, and a capacity for sound judgment. Prudent. Knowing, and I think that's it. So, understanding, discernment, and sound judgment, and being prudent. So, Paul is challenging us, inviting us to walk in wisdom towards people that are not believers. Right? Now, the part that says making the best use of the time. I know some people make an interpretation of this like you have always all the time to tell them about the gospel. I mean, okay, I get it. I see, you know, because it's true. There is a need out there where there is not the word of God, where people don't know, don't understand, or don't believe in Him. They do need Jesus. Who's going to tell them? Yeah, we are going to tell them, right? But I go back to the point of, you know, maybe a different style or different ways, you know, because there are some people that in their understanding, before they say good morning, they go say, you need Jesus, you're a sinner, blah, blah, blah. Hey, that's a way. It is true. you know, to say that. But it can be a little bit tricky because some people might take it like, woo, easy. You know, can you at least say good morning first and then we can talk about that? I don't know if that happened to you, right? But you, I mean, some brothers and sisters, that's their understanding. Okay, some other people think that they need to, you know, go in the middle of the street and yell at people, bunch of sinners, bunch of snakes. Hey, God's used donkeys, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He wants to use you that way, amen. That's okay. What I'm trying to say is, when it says that we walk in wisdom towards outsiders, we need to allow, first of all, what I'm trying to say is, the more we relate with the Lord, the more we have that communication, the more we acquire or get wisdom, knowledge from Him, the more we become like Him, right? I don't know, this is especially for married couples. You guys know that sometimes, I mean, you and your spouse have so many things in common, right? That even you can have the same thought about something, right? Or you can know what your wife or your husband is thinking depending on the situation because you guys know each other so well, better than no one else. It's the same thing. It's how we relate with the Lord in that level, right? That we will be able to understand things that we had no idea before. I'll give you an example later. But what I'm trying to say is when this is the main purpose thing in your life, this communication, this relationship with the Lord, this part of walking in wisdom, it almost basically comes automatically because God is changing you, transforming you, so this is who you are now. Now, if the Lord gives you the opportunity to share His word, amen, take it. He will lead you on how to do it. And the reason why I gave those examples is because I'm not saying that that's wrong. What I'm trying to say is become what God wants you to become in this particular area of your life. I don't know about you. It happened to me too. There was a time that we had to go share the gospel to the streets. And we did. We did. But it was almost like, oh man, if I don't do it, then I'm not Christian. Then I'm not passionate for the Lord. Then I'm not enough. You have no idea, but God is going to put you in places and He's going to use you even if you don't want to. Because you're a child and you're a tool of the Lord. And He will put words in your mouth that are going to be, how in the world did I come up with that? Well, it wasn't you, but you know what I mean? You're going to surprise yourself, if that makes sense. So, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Love them. Speak the truth to them. And use the time the best way you can with them. Let your speech always be gracious. This is key. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. That is one super important thing that I believe we need to have in our hearts towards outsiders, toward non-believers. Grace. Because that's the only one thing that they don't have in the world. They don't have grace. They don't have love. They don't have a humble heart, people reaching out to them with genuine love from the Lord. Be gracious. Seasoned with salt. Have you ever eaten like a food without salt, let's say steak? without salt. Oh my goodness. I bet there is in the Bible one place that says don't eat steak without salt. I shouldn't say that. That's a bad joke. Sorry. No, you know what I mean. It's really bad. Salt gives a really nice flavor, you know, to the food. I'm talking about food right now. You know I like food. But think about it. Having grace towards non-believers, speaking the truth. That's what they need. Loving them. That's what they need. Well, this is the last verse. Wow, 30 minutes already. Goodness. I want to give you a quick example, something that I experienced. And it honestly, first of all, it got me off guard. And then afterwards, I was like, wow, I didn't expect that. So this time, you know, that we went to Norway, during the conference, there was a guy over there that I never met before. So, and then after one of the talks, I saw him sitting down with some of his relatives. And I wanted to say hi. You know, I wanted to meet him. I never met him before. So I went, sat by them, and he's like, hey, how's it going, blah, 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 you know. And then I love that he was straight to the point. And he told me, so how is it that a perfect and amazing guy that you described, how is it that he needs our love? How come that he needs our love? And you know, in my flesh, I wanted to slap this guy. I'm like, are you out of your mind? What kind of question is that? What do you mean by that? That he needs our love. He is God. That happened in my mind, okay? But I was praying, oh, goodness, how do I answer this? So, and I'm, you know, I'm listening to him, and at the same time, I'm thinking, praying, God, can you help me? I have no idea what to say to this guy. But there is one thing that I want to do. I want to love them. Whatever the answer is, I just want to make sure that he knows that you love him. And my answer was, you know what? I see what you're saying. I understand the point. This is the thing. So we love the Lord. We love God. If we died today, right now in this moment, would he stop being God? Or he will continue being God forever, as he's been forever from the beginning, whenever the beginning started? So do you think, I think he enjoys our love, right? Because he's a father, just like we enjoy the love of our kids, right? But that doesn't stop him from being God, from being who he is. If anything, his loving grace are so big that he gives us the opportunity to love him. And that's all I had, you know. So I just went blank from that moment. And so we all, each looking at each other, staring at each other. And then he said, and how come, I think this is super unfair, how come that you can live an awful life, you know, given all the flesh wants and whatever, and enjoy life and whatever, and just because you believe in him, and just because you become a Christian, then you're going to heaven, when there are people, really good people in this world, I know them, really good people, that they're not Christians, and they're going to hell just because they don't believe in him, just because they don't follow him? And again, I'm like, I have no idea what to answer this guy, you know? And I'm just like, God, please help me. I need something. What can I say? And I'm just listening to him. Yeah, I see the point. I totally understand what you're saying. And in your perspective, I mean, if we see it from that perspective, that is true. Now, let me tell you why. This is why I believe what happens, okay? Some of his relatives were there, okay? So I told him, let's say these three relatives of you here, let's say they lived an awful life. Man, they get drunk, you know, they're using drugs, they're a bunch of liars, they're stealing money, they're killing people, they're whatever. Whatever comes to your mind when something is bad, when a person is bad, these guys are the epitome of that. And I, oh my goodness, I've been the best man from the moment I was born. Not one lie, super honest, humble person, you know. And I just, I described, I think you're following me, really bad person, really good person. And I told him, and let's say that the four of us are sick. We have the same problem, the same sickness. And you have the cure. Let's say you have, there was a very weird example, by the way. Let's say we all need a kidney. And for some odd reason, you have like 6 kidneys inside of you, you know. So you can give a kidney to each one, you know, of us. Who would you save? Would you save them? Or would you save me? And he smiled at me. It was an easy answer. You know the answer. It was an easy answer. He's like, I will save them. And I said, yeah, you're right. You know why? He's like, because they're my family. That's true. But there is something about that you're not saying. What is it? And he's like, I don't know why. Because you don't know me. You don't know who I am. I just met you. This is the first time that you and I are talking to each other. You have no idea who I am. You don't know me. Regardless of how they lived, because you know them and they're important to you, you're going to save them, right? He's like, yes, that's why. What is the one thing that the Lord is going to tell us when we get to be face to face? He's going to tell you either welcome, good bond servant, welcome, I know you. Or he's going to tell you, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. He's not going to ask, how many times do you go to church? He's not going to tell you, oh, yeah, you're the one that was, you know, moved to another country. He's not going to ask that. I know you or I do not know you. That's why. A couple days later, I sat down in front of this guy, wanted to talk, you know, with him. I love this guy. And I told him, hey, how are you doing today? Are you going to school? He's a young guy. He's like, you going to university? Do you have a job or something? And he told me this, I don't want to talk to you. And I said, that's okay. No worries. I'm praying for him. I don't even know why I'm crying. I guess I just fell for him. But you know, God is so powerful. He can change those minds. He can change those hearts. That is exactly what you and I need. The same God, the same Jesus, and the same work. We still need the Lord to work on us. We still need Jesus to keep working in our hearts and our minds, to be making you and I more like him, whatever that looks like, however that looks like. If that means moving to another country, amen. If that means staying here, amen. Let's become what God wants us to become, more like him. And let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can get together in your name, and that we have the freedom to speak up. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can have what's in your heart in a way that we can understand it. Father, I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters in this place that we can grow together in knowledge and understanding of who you are and then who we are in you. Father, give us the opportunity to share the word with the world, with the outsiders. Do it in wisdom, with grace, with love. Father, and I pray especially for this man in Norway. Continue to work in his heart and his mind. Help him see and understand how much he needs you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, brother, for that word. Very encouraged myself and challenge, I guess, as well, to spend more time in prayer. You know, so many times is, doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter if you're in prison. It doesn't matter if you're in an airplane. It doesn't matter in your recliner, where you're at in your closet. You can always pray to God. And, you know, so many times in our human flesh, we want to see results like now. But God has his timing. And it kind of made me think, it's been some time ago anyway, is when you kind of financially, and I'm like, with the line of work that I do in sales and all, I'm like, Lord, I planted the seeds, you know. And it's like, I need some return now. And you just pray God for 80 bushels versus 25 bushels or whatever. But in a spiritual sense, I guess what I'm getting to is all we can do, Lord is asking us to plant the seeds, you know, and for him to trust in him to bring that harvest. And God will do so in his timing. Anyway, thanks again, everyone, for coming. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here. I think we milled about to be prepared here, so feel free to hang around. Why don't we all stand, and John, if you wouldn't close this in a word of prayer, I'd appreciate it.
Lord, thank you for speaking to us this morning, Lord, and Lord, help us to grow, Lord, and become more like you in our prayer. Lord, I know you have great things in store for your people, Lord, in these last days which we're living, so help us, Lord, to redeem the time, because we know the days are evil. And Lord, we know that you overcame the world, and you give us grace to overcome also. Lord, we thank you for the food. Thank you, Lord, for those who prepared it. I pray, Lord, you would bless it to our bodies. Help us use the strength to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.